And we've got Almost Supermoon open lines for you, so get ready to make the call. Hey, by the way, here's a program note for those of you who happen to listen to us on XM Sirius 104. As of July 16th, we're switching to channel 102. So just make yourself a note. We'll be putting it on the website, and I'll be making a few announcements as we get to that date. But you can find us July 16th night on 102. So there's a switch of a couple digits there. Boy, it's talking about weird things today. I'm driving down the 405 in Los Angeles, and this is one of its busiest freeways. And a car pulls up alongside of me, and there's a little kid. He must have been about 6 or 7 in the passenger side. He's not in the back. He's in the front. I hope he had his seatbelt on. He's kind of looking at me. And his mother is on her phone sending text messages like crazy. 65 miles an hour, little kid in the front. She's not even watching the road. She's watching her phone. And I'm saying this is a tragedy about to happen. I don't know how people can do this. Now, you probably have done it, right? I've done it a little bit, but not anymore. Not at all. Anyways, we've got 3 hours of open lines for you. We're going to talk about some various topics along the line. So get ready to make the call when I come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Open Lines here on Coast to Coast AM. And in addition to this, if any of you have a pet and you want to share that very strange story with us, go ahead. I have gotten this week some of the most incredible emails from people about their pets, about how they jump in and protect somebody if there's an intruder, all kinds of things. I mean, strange. Somebody sent me a video today of a pet turtle, and he's pushing a ball with his nose. This is a turtle. And a dog comes in and decides it wants to play with the ball too. And that turtle is chasing him all over the kitchen. It was hilarious. Anyway, share some of those with us too. We've got lots to cover tonight, 3 hours worth. Let's go to Nick in Garden City, New York to get us started. Hello, Nick. Good morning.
Hey, Mr. Norrie. How's it going tonight?
Okay, Nick. How about you?
Great, great. I got a question for you.
Sure.
You should have a guest talk on before talking about ghosts. And I just want to ask your opinion, the theory that ghosts are not actually dead people, but they're actually people from the past who are being seen by us now because of a, how do I put this, like a shift or a breakdown in the timeline, and we're able to see them. Have you ever heard about that theory?
This, you're saying basically that they're alive in this other dimension and we're seeing them.
Yes, yes. They're not dead. It's just our time and their time are intersecting.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that. I've heard that. I think there's a lot going on, different possibilities, which includes that. I think deja vu might be part of that. Deja vu, of course, you know something's going to happen or you know somebody's going to say something. I think you've already been there before, maybe in another dimension, and then you kind of carry it back over. But I do believe that most ghosts are still from humans who have passed on and their spirits. I think they still hang around for whatever reason. Let's go to Randy in Sacramento, west of the Rockies. Randy, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hi, Mr. Norrie.
Hello, Randy.
Hi. Listen, I called you a couple of years ago, and you had two ladies on there that used to work a Ouija board. And I told you about when all my family was going to die and how they were going to die and everything. And these ladies were very, very serious at taking me about this, and everything has come true. Except I did all the things that another person has told me to do, which was prayer, and my brother, my last brother, didn't die. And I'm so thankful for your show, and I'm so thankful for the things you do. You don't know how much you have blessed my family and my life. I mean, it's just so tremendous. You will never, ever, ever know.
Well, Randy, I don't know what we did, but thank you.
I thank you so much, Mr. Norrie.
You're the one. You saved your brother's life. You did it.
Well, there was one of your other guests that come on there because they said, you know, you can use these things for good, But when we worked this thing, we was just little bitty kids, and we opened up something evil out of that thing. I just don't know what we did. I just don't know. And Mr. Norrie, I have no reason to lie to you whatsoever. And I so much appreciate you, and I thank you so much for the guests you have on there, because they've given me so much information, and I followed it, and I follow it with a true heart, and it just made everything happen so well.
All right,
my brother just
I'm
turned 69 July 7th.
Good for him.
And he was only supposed to live till he was 68. He turned 69 July 7th of this year.
Let's hope he's around for a long, long time. Hey, would you ever want to know when you're going to die? Would you like to know the day, the event? I'm not sure I would. Then again, if you do know, can you take precautions? Can you change it? You know, we had that big discussion at the International Remote Viewing Conference back in Vegas a few weekends ago. Free will. Can you change the future? And some people say you can. Other people say you can't. I think whatever you change, it ends up being what the future was supposed to be in the first place anyway. San Antonio, Texas. It's Wayne's turn on Coast to Coast. Hey, Wayno, welcome.
Hey, George. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I just actually wanted to talk to you about something that I would have loved to talk to Dash about, and it's actually a little bit connected to your first caller and Nick, but kind of my own little theory and something that I've studied a little bit on through the internet. I'm sure you've heard of the dual slit experiment with the particles that are separated and then hit the board behind two holes. And they've shown that with those particles, if you have a witness, even if it's a camera or a person, the particles are predictable and they hit the same spot over and over. But if there's no witness, then the radiation shows that the particles hit in a completely random spectrum. And it's incredible. It's incredible to watch. There's a bunch of different people who have done the experiments in different ways, and it's always the same calculation, same result. And I'm a very skeptic person. I'm not religious in any sense. I used to be when I was younger, and I've given up on that a long time ago. But it's really the only thing out there that I've seen substantial to make me believe in a higher power or a spiritual world. And I've kind of theorized and thought through. Of course, I listen to your show all the time, so it's far too much evidence out there to make me believe there's not a spiritual world.
I agree with you.
I kind of want to think that maybe they, you know, like your first guest was, or your first caller was saying, maybe they aren't exactly ghosts or wandering spirits, but maybe it's an impression that the universe recorded. You know, maybe some weird quantum mechanic is out there that notices the ridiculous or the exaggerated or the violent or the emotional things we do, and the eventful stuff gets recorded, and a vibration of it gets left behind for, you know, psychics or other people to tune into.
And maybe we're
wondering if you've ever heard about that, or if you know anything about that.
Maybe we're living the dream. Maybe we're the dream.
That's a scary thought, and there's a lot of philosophers that have talked about that, a lot of French people that, you know, the French are great when it comes to that whole existential thought, and when you get far into it, it starts scaring you, the idea of that kind of eternity.
We should have a roundtable discussion on just who are we and what are we doing here and what is it all about? Because I don't think it's an accident, and I definitely don't think it's random. There's too much organization here. There's way too much. Anyway, we also take your text questions throughout the night. The phone is in the hands of producer Tom Danheiser, and he gets them. And we get far more text messages than we read, but what do we have now, Tom?
This phone does not stop, which is a good thing.
Yep.
This one's from Jerry in Maryland. He says, George, with such a huge universe, could it be possible that the end of the planet could be closer than we think?
Oh, well, let's hope not. Let's hope not. I think we have a long way to go.
And that's only if, you know, the visitors are not friendly.
Well, I don't think some of the visitors are friendly. I think some are and some aren't. I think they make up the same kind of complexities as we have on this planet.
So if they are not friendly, why haven't we been hit yet?
How do you know? Hit with what?
Well, you know, like them attacking us.
Maybe they have. Maybe all these cases of abductions, who knows? You know, when Dave Politis comes on, mm-hmm. he talks about those people missing in parks,
mm-hmm.
I think he kind of has hinted that there's some kind of a dimensional thing involved. I may be wrong, but I think that's where he's going, but he doesn't like to talk about it. How do we know the evil ETs aren't picking up people from these parks?
And that's kind of their way of striking at us?
Yeah, just scooping them down and picking them up.
Yike.
It's weird. All right, next up, we go to Rick in Nebraska, east of the Rockies. Hey, Rick, welcome to the program.
Good morning, George. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you.
I had a couple of questions, quick ones. Whatever happened to your other host, that George Knapp, and then there was another one?
Another George?
Oh, I don't know. There was George Knapp, and then you used to have another guy that used to host some of the weekend.
Oh, that was, you're talking about Ian Punnett.
Ian Punnett, yeah.
Ian has come down with tinnitus, which is that horrible ringing in the ears, and he physically can't do the show anymore. So he resigned, and he's now in academia. He's going to the University of Arizona. His days were numbered, and we tried to give him as much time as he thought he could have, but he just could not go on anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Are you planning on bringing Alex Jones back in?
Oh, Alex is always on. He's a regular. He comes on as often as we can bring him on.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You have a good night. Thanks for keeping us truckers awake, right?
Oh, you got it. Hey, don't forget, are you listening to me on XM or on a radio station?
I got you on XM.
Okay. We switch July 16th to channel 102.
Okay. I'll be on there.
Okay. You got it. Thank you. Yeah, Alex is a staple. I mean, I call him the bulldog. He's got his own show, and he does his own television work, but he calls it the way he sees it. And most of the things he does, he has picked up from other media, stories that have been published. People think, oh, Alex, you just make this stuff up. He doesn't. He doesn't make it up. You know, and he's been spot on a lot of things. He really has. Look, he's the one who broke the Bilderberg story. When he went to do that story and we brought him on, the phones never stopped. Let's go to Greg in West Virginia. Greg, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Good morning, sir. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you.
My question was in regard to your previous guest, of course, talking about the ghost.
Okay.
I'm wondering about the show. Jennifer Love Hewitt, Ghost Whispers?
Yes, know it well.
Okay, so I know this is a TV show, and I know that there's probably most of it scripted and what have you, but for the most part, do you think that what she does on the show, that in real life somewhere this is for real, and that the spirits that she's speaking to are left behind and caught between the two places, from the earth to wherever it is they're supposed to be, because there's some kind of unfinished business that they haven't taken care of?
No doubt. They had some consultants on that program, medium James Von Prague and our guest Marianne Winkowski, who's a ghost chaser as well. And they advised them, the script writers, pretty closely on many of the things that they wrote for that show. But I think there's a lot of reality to that. There really is. Look, when you stop for just 1 second, and let's say you don't believe in any of this, you don't believe in God, you don't believe in the hereafter, you just don't believe in any of it. Ask yourself, what the heck are you doing on the planet? And how did it all happen? And why did it all happen? I think when you start to ask yourself these profound questions, and you may not come up with the answer, because I don't have the answer, but you do come up with the conclusion that there's got to be more than just a roll of the dice. I don't know how it happened. I don't know how it began. I don't even know what the Big Bang Theory is all about. I don't. Scientists try to tell me this minute little particle exploded, and this is what we have in the universe. I can't comprehend that. I have no idea what it is. Let's go to Anthony in Miami, Florida. Well, you didn't get LeBron, did you?
Well, he did his thing, and now he's moving on.
He's moving back. Yeah.
give other people some chances to show themselves. The reason I want to call is to share that, you know, when you talk about faith, well, I accepted Christ when I was in the military. We got to go to Haifa and to Jerusalem, and I accepted him in the tomb where he was buried. Ever since that day, I look at the world completely different. I'm almost like shown like a hidden video in my mind, and I can sense things that are coming up around me. Because people look at me and they go, how did you figure this out? And I don't understand it, but I'm listening to, I don't know what it is. I got this tone in my ear that I hear. It's like connected with the universe, if you will.
Yeah.
And I can see exactly what's going on, and I feel comfortable when I see these crazy things are happening. Because when I accepted, we were told, you're going to see these horrific things happen until I return. So, for example, Otis Toole, when I worked in a communication, mm-hmm. what's the odds of hooking up a telephone in a maximum security and you're 2 feet away from a serial killer? What's the odds of possibly working with somebody in the 90s that you're working with a serial killer because of the signatures the person is giving off on you, the energy, which it's an ongoing case right now. So the reason for this call is I'm sending this energy out for the family to get their answer. Law enforcement have told me, we want to talk to you, but they don't go any further with it. So they're not saying what I'm explaining to them. Is something just off the top of my head.
And let me ask you, though, Anthony, I did not think they ever found Jesus's tomb.
Well, where they had where he was, the tomb where he was actually stripped down, it's a small church inside of a church. It's like double roofs there in Jerusalem. I forget what the place is called.
You're talking about
at the dome? It's a very tight place that you go in, and the actual rock is covered in a bulletproof glass. Because people were stealing it for souvenirs.
I know people have historically been trying to look for the burial tomb itself, but I don't think they have found that at all. But look, if you worked side by side with a serial killer, you're darn lucky that you're still around. Thank God you weren't his M.O., the type of person that he might have been looking for. Hey, by the way, we're going to continue with open lines for the next couple hours. If you need to email me, fire away at george@coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter as well. Open lines continue here on Coast to Coast AM. And again, welcome back to Coast, where you have open lines for you tonight on this pre-super moon Friday into Saturday morning. And again, get a chance to look at the moon tomorrow night if you can. If you're lucky and you're not clouded up, it is supposed to be 30%, the appearance of 30% bigger than the normal full moon always looks. And we're going to have one again in August and September, but it's just unbelievable. Boy, if you're lucky to be off the ocean and you see this, what a sight to behold. Back to the phones we go. Let us go to our West of the Rockies caller. Charles is in Kauai. In the Hawaiian Islands. Charles, always a pleasure. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for running your call-in radio mastermind show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. I was trying to talk about the second law of thermodynamics because it's obscure, but it would solve all these problems we have.
How?
We wouldn't have, well, we can recycle heat effortlessly. Then, if the second law of thermodynamics is violated, and it means that if we could turn the energy of ambient heat, and turn it to something else, we'd have refrigeration and whatever output form of energy, usually electricity. And so you'd have energy diversity out of kind of an energy desert, and you could.
Charles, you're talking about free energy.
Yes, yes, yes. We'd have the Jetson.
They don't want that.
We do.
I want it. You want it, and probably every other human wants it on this planet. But they don't want it.
Okay, let's just keep talking about it and get bigger and bigger and outdo them.
We should. We're going to have to do that. Nah, there's no way they will want us to have free energy systems. No way. They just make too much money on gas and electricity and everything else. Tom's in Knoxville, Tennessee. Tom, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, George and your team. I just want to say thank you for all the hard work you guys do.
You're very welcome.
Listen, George, I got two things, one serious, one on the lighter side.
Okay.
On the lighter side, I read those old paperback Ripley's Believe It or Not books, like the comic books.
I love them.
Paperback.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, number two, it was printed in 1931, and it has an article in there about a sperm whale that was found with a 14-foot great white skeleton in it.
Whoa.
And you were talking about that great white that got swallowed up.
Yeah.
It could have been a sperm whale.
Could have been a whale. I thought about that. It's very possible.
And they said that was from either 1903 or 1913. I can't remember for sure, but early 1900s for sure. Okay. The more serious thing was the Malaysia flight.
Yeah.
I got I'm in a military family, and I heard talk, one of my uncles is in Mason to 33rd degree, and they were talking about some of that stuff, and I was just kind of listening. But what they said is that they had pre-knowledge that that flight was going to get hijacked, so they allowed it to happen because it was going to be flown to a location. And they said that location was south of Saudi Arabia, one of the countries south of Saudi Arabia. And the reason for this is because once the plane landed, there was going to be a multitude of high-level targets all gathering in one spot. And then it was about 5 or 8 days later, there was a massive drone strike in that area. And none of that was publicized, but the reason for it was to gather all those people together to make one strike to kill as many of those high-level officials as possible. And they called it basically collateral damage. And they said that at some point, debris from that plane would be scattered in an area to make it look like a wreckage site.
What?
And I just wanted to pass.
You may be right. And one of the countries south of Saudi Arabia, of course, is Yemen. You know, so it's possible. Yeah, you know, something happened. Weird.
Yes, sir. I do remember that there was some major strike roughly a week after all that went down, and it was a big drone strike out there, and they were talking about it, and they were like, yeah, we knew what was going on, but this was the reason why. And they said they killed like 17 of these people. I mean, there was other people killed, but the high-level people, they said there were 17 of them killed. But I just want to throw that out there. I know you've been talking about both of those two subjects quite a bit, and it is truly an honor to be on your show, and thank you for your time.
You're very welcome. That Malaysian flight continues to be one of the most baffling episodes since I've been around. I mean, geez, where is it? You know, as our special guest was saying last night, that they believe that there might have been a fire, let's say, in the cockpit or something like that. I don't know. Nobody is bringing up the two phony passport people who were on that plane. I find that to be very unusual. What do you use a phony passport for? Everybody has passports these days in these countries. So unless you're up to some no good, you're going to use your real passport, right? So why would you use a stolen passport as somebody? Because you don't want people to know who you are because you're up to something. And they haven't said anything about it. Two people. So I'm convinced they knew each other. Next up, we go to Don in Fort Collins, Colorado. Don, you are on Coast to Coast. Hi, Don.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi.
Thank you for having me on the program.
Sure.
George, I'm going to tell you something about animal, which if you were to tell me this, I probably wouldn't believe it, but I do have documentation of it, and it would have been an ideal subject for your Beyond Belief in Denver, because I live in Colorado.
All right, well, it still may be. What happened?
Well, unfortunately, suddenly this I had a poodle. I'm blind, and he was a guide dog. And, of course, as you're probably aware, poodles are listed as the number one intelligent animal as far as in the dog
world. In the dog world, yeah.
Yeah. And I started to realize that this dog could do math. And I did that because I used to walk around the neighborhood, and it was like a half a mile. And after I did this a few times, I walked usually four times around the neighborhood. And after about the fourth time, he would walk past the driveway three times and on the fourth one turn in. Also, I gradually became blind, and I could see in the beginning when we used to walk down a sidewalk, he could determine, and this has to be trigonometry, he could determine by looking up at a branch covering a sidewalk whether or not when we were walking at 3 miles an hour, whether it was going to hit my head or I was going to be able to pass under the branch.
He could time that? That's amazing.
It is. Well, this is even more amazing what I'm going to tell you. And I have numbers of witnesses, and I also have a rather poorly constructed video which a young lady did for me when she was over watching what was happening with a cell phone, so it's not high quality, but nonetheless, it documents it. I found out from thinking about this that maybe he could do other math. So what I got him to do, I didn't want him to bark, I wanted him to growl. So I would ask him questions, and my mother used to live with me, and she could watch, you know, his expression. I would say things like, what's 32 divided by 4? And he would growl 8 times. I said,
come on, really?
No, honest, George, this is the truth. And I know most people say this is crazy. In fact, I tried to get this into Guinness Book of World Records, and they said, oh, yeah, you're some kind of kook, I guess. Well, they didn't say it, but they kind of acted like it. But 99 divided by 11, he'd growl 9 times. And here's what's even more amazing. I would do math problems like, what's 1,250 minus 50 minus 400 divided by 200? And he'd growl 4 times.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. And this is the first time I've tried to call in before and never could get in. What I'm wondering is, if you have such a vast audience, if there's anyone who owns poodles out there that has ever experienced their ability to do math, because he could do, you know, he could multiply, he could subtract, he could add and divide. He could do all of those things.
Did it take him a while to learn it, or did he, like, pick it up right away?
He picked it up right away, and it's not rote. You know horses, they can stomp, like, numbers and stuff. But this dog, my mother said that when I'd given these problems, he'd kind of rise, his head would rise up, and his eyes would kind of blink, and then he would growl out the answers. And the amazing thing about it is that it wasn't a rote thing where you did the same thing over and over again. You could say, what's 3 times 3, and he'd growl 9 times, or what's 12 divided by 3, and he'd growl 4 times. And I got to thinking, boy, this would be a great thing. So I was going to have him on a radio station out here, but unfortunately he suddenly died of an autoimmune disease.
How old was he when he went?
A little over 10 years old.
No, he should have gone 4 or 5 more years after that.
Well, the big dogs, I was just talking to vets about this, and they said that the bigger dogs usually don't have the lifespan of the smaller ones.
No, that is true. But
when the big poodle...
Oh, this was a big poodle.
He was 90 pounds.
That's a big poodle.
And that was the original size of the poodles when the Germans and the Russians were breeding them. But I didn't realize that, you know, there was no indication really that he was sick or anything. He just was going along just fine, and then suddenly one night went down and took him to emergency, and they said that he had this autoimmune. It was killing his red blood cells, and so he was operating on about 20% oxygen, even though he didn't show it.
Okay, well, let's see if anybody checks in with us on poodles who know math. I used to, when I was in my 20s, I had a little tiny farm in Fowlerville, Michigan, with my two daughters at the time. And I would drive into work into Southfield, Michigan, because I was working at a television station there, Channel 2. I had a Siberian Husky. gorgeous little dog. His name was Nikita. And, you know, they're winter dogs. They love outside. We'd put him outside. We hooked him up to a 10-foot chain, and so he couldn't run all over the place. And every day we would put him out there. Every day a rooster would come popping past him far enough where Nikki couldn't get at him, and the rooster just kept going. This happened every day, and you could tell how frustrating this dog was. Well, one day I went outside, we hooked him up, and sure enough, along came the rooster again. And we're back in the house, and Nikita decides to back up 4 feet. So he's got 4 feet of slack on this 10-foot chain. He backs up 4 feet. The rooster is accustomed to staying, you know, like 3 feet away from him all the time. So he backs himself in by 3 feet. Nikita had an extra foot on that chain. By the time we got to him, the rooster was gone. There were 2 feet hanging out of Nikita's mouth. Gone. Brilliant dog. Absolutely brilliant. Let's go east. Sharon is in Toronto and now on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hello, Sharon.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
Can you hear me, George?
I can. Are you coming to my event November 8th?
I am now.
You got it.
Okay. I'd like to share a true event that happened concerning the Ouija board. Let me know at any time if you cannot hear me.
Okay. So far, so good.
About 20 years ago, my father was a very prominent government official here in Toronto. He hired a gentleman from England, and this guy apparently was playing with the Ouija board. Apparently, one day, my dad came out for lunch. He was having some lunch with some friends, mm-hmm. and this guy comes up to him, and he's all frantic and screaming, and he says to my father, he says, "They're after me." And my father says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "They're after me. They're after me." He says, "I've been playing with the Ouija board. He's been getting numbers and winning numbers. He's won a lot of money." He says, "They're coming after me. They're coming after me for my soul." And my father was really confused. You know, he was sort of scratching his head, and he's trying to figure out what's going on. My dad goes back into work, and this guy comes in and out of the blue in broad daylight stabs my father three times, and my father almost died about an inch away from his heart.
Oh.
And they later found out, it was on the news, on the television, and later found out that he was, in fact, playing with this Ouija board every day, and he, I guess, owed, you know, like almost $1 million in debt, but he was getting winning numbers every single day, and it just is unbelievable to, you know, speak it out again to everyone, but this was true, and my dad, up to this day, is still living, recovered, and the guy did confess that he was getting everything from the Ouija board.
Unbelievable. That's a great story. And that tells you, don't play around with the Ouija board. Got another text here for us, Tom, as the phone keeps clicking in. So what do we have for us?
It does. This one's from Greg in Jacksonville, Florida. He says, "George, I got to know, when you were a little kid, what was your favorite Christmas present?"
Ah, my favorite Christmas present. I didn't get anything. My favorite present is a story that, you know, I want to save it for Christmas. I tell these Christmas stories, and they're kind of nice at Christmas time. But, you know, my parents were very, very generous with me and my two sisters, and they were very caring and loving people. My mother, thank God, still around. She'd give you the shirt off her back. But there was a Christmas where we got bicycles, and just the way we got them, I'll never, ever forget.
But that was like your favorite gift?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know what? I wasn't into a lot of presents. In those days, you know, kids weren't into everything. You know, we wanted our cap guns and our little things.
I remember cap guns.
Yeah, I mean,
Oh, my gosh.
That's how we entertained each other. We had board games. When's the last time you played a board game? I don't mean a game that was boring, but a board game. B-O-A-R-D, a board game. When's the last time you played one?
You know what? If you're not talking, if blackjack's not a board game, then I can't remember.
No, like Monopoly or Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah, not
or
for a long
Stratego.
Time.
That's something we can talk about next hour in addition to everything else.
What was that other one? A Parcheesi?
Parcheesi was another one.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the games that, you know, we didn't have video in those days. So those were the things that kept us entertained. And I used to remember playing, I used to have these little military figurines. I had thousands of them. And I would set up my own battles and everything else. I would be in the garage in Detroit. It was 100 degrees in there, but that's where I set up my fort. And, you know, I'd have all these little men out there and everything else. And, you know, it was just a different way of playing, you know.
Did you ever get Hot Wheel cars with those, like, plastic orange
thing? Yeah, we did that. Look, I used to, I think I've told you this story. I used to dress up like Zorro and terrorize the neighborhood. I'll be back in a moment. More open lines on Coast to Coast AM.